I'm only going to do part one this morning. There's just so much there. And it's really a complicated, when you talk about climate, it is really a complicated, the more I look at it, the more I see, wow, there are some issues. It's just not a real simple thing. And so we're going to look at some of the things I think that make sense and show you some of the graphs and so forth. But if you want to really dig deeper into this, we've just put on our website, Meteorologist, Scientist Explain Why There Is No Climate Emergency. The other one is Princeton, MIT scientists say EPA climate regulations based on hoax. And so you could look at that for yourself, and a lot of the information that I'm going to share this morning is taken from that. But we do have a pamphlet or a little booklet here that you can pick up. It's available right after the service. And so a lot of what I'm going to talk about is right in here. And the pamphlet, It's Time for Net Zero. Are you in? No. And you're going to see the consequences of that net zero that they're talking about. But one of the things that I find is I'm very comfortable teaching the Bible. I like to go through the Bible verse by verse and share the Word of God and just share the devotional things that God has shown me. When you get into this area, we've titled the message, Climate Change, Fact or Fraud. That's harder for me because you're digging information and you're digging these things and you're putting them out there. And obviously, it's not your information, so you're not sharing your heart on this. I'm sharing my heart that that a lot of what we're seeing today, I've never seen anything like it when the world comes together. And they're coming together in some negative things. They're not coming together around Jesus Christ, but they're coming together with the pandemic, with COVID. And the vaccines came together. It's a whole worldwide situation. This whole climate change or global warming, they're all coming together for this. But you see, that's what the Bible talks about. In the last days, there will be a unity among all people at that point, a unity around the world. And then there will be a leader, one leader that will rise up. And it doesn't say how they're coming together. But what we've seen, they're coming together with a lot of things that are invented by man. And we will talk about the facts and the fraud this morning. Now, I know I'm gonna name some people, and I'm going to show some video. And it's not a condemnation of people. Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn. I mean, who are you? Who are me to condemn people? Not at all. But you see, what I want to do is I want to show, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to draw that truth line and show that there is an error side to that, and some of those that I'm going to indicate are on that side, and then there's a truth side, and I want to bring that to you. You see, it's either man who is God and going to rule over planet Earth, or it's God who created it, and he's going to sustain it. So that's really what we want to see. But let's start in prayer. Father, we do pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our minds. Lord, we're never, ever bludgeoned into a belief system. Lord, but the wise person will open their heart and their mind to see whatever side is true, whatever side rings true. So, Lord, I do pray that you do that this morning, this afternoon, Lord, as we deal with these issues. Lord, it's on a global scale. I see it being a global fraud, a hoax. And so I do pray, Lord, that we could be with clarity, bring out what these scientists, the meteorologists, the people that have really studied climate, what they are bringing out, which is in opposition to what the government. Government is not a scientific agency. EPA is not a scientific agency. They just will parrot what's given to them. So I do pray that we might be able to really cut a line between truth and error this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to look at is, there'll be a lot of reading here, but a lot from these people that have studied this. Now, I want you to know, these aren't Christians that are going, okay, this is Christian, you know, the climate change is fraud. No, these are people that I don't even know if they know God. You know, some of them are evolutionists, but what they're doing is they're looking at the data, and they're observing these things. And then they're coming up with conclusions, or they're coming up with a view that is something that we're not hearing with the media. So Larry Bell, he's an endowed professor. Now, when we say endowed, it simply means highest academic awards given at the University of Houston. So a lot of these things I'm going to quote, I'm going to read, but hopefully you'll get, and some people I know go, wow, that was way over my head. Well, obviously climate is way over a lot of people's head unless you've spent years of studying it, but there's enough facts, enough evidence to show that, wow, the government, the media is on the wrong track, and that's what we want to do. But he says, I care about how climate hysteria and how misinformation drives policy. And these policies are driving our foundational bedrock policies that determine our economic well-being. They determine our national defense mastery. We won't run a Navy on ethanol. We're not going to run an Air Force on extension cords. It's just absolutely insane. People think of climate as science. No, it's not. It's the big lever of government. It's the big globalism. It ain't favoring the United States. There's absolutely nothing more impacting, nothing more effective, I think, than leveraging the climate scare. So he's just kind of setting the place. It is, you know, they're scaring you into submission. You see, if they can scare you, then they can control you. That's a fact. You have to ask, well, who's in charge of planet Earth? Is God? Did he really create it, and will he sustain it? You see, so many of those, they've kicked God out. In fact, the platform of the Democrat Party years ago, they kicked God out. So when you kick God out of a society or a person's life, then you become God yourself. And so you have to ask, is God in charge or is man in charge? Is man taking the place of God? And if he is, watch out, because if he's taking the place of God, it won't be long before he will take charge of your life and he will run your life. You see, what is called climate change or global warming, you could name them what you want. They just keep changing the names and they ramp it up for the fear factor. They will say climate warning, climate crisis, climate emergency. They will say that and it just keeps ramping it up. And what does it do? The fear factor in people that don't really have the information to look deeper into these things. But that's the tool nowadays. That's the tool. Now, I know the new variant of COVID and the shots and stuff, that's a tool as well. But I want to talk about this tool. It's a tool to control and scare you into submission. You see, here's what they're saying. We're going to lay out what they're saying. We're going to lay out what God says about how he oversees planet Earth. And then we're going to look at what they say. We're going to scrutinize. We're going to vet what they say by other scientists who've been deplatformed, and the media, the government, doesn't want to hear them. But we do. We want to make our own decision on this. Here's what they're saying. National Public Radio, catastrophic floods in eastern Libya killed at least 5,100. Well, let me pause right there, people. Now, this was a couple weeks ago or right after it happened, but now I just looked, and this day I looked, and they say that there are 11,300 that died, and they're now still looking for another 10,000. So this was a radical catastrophe. And then he says, according to local authorities, the disaster comes after a strong, deadly floods around the world this month, from China to Brazil to Greece. In every case, extremely heavy rain was to blame. The enormous loss of life on multiple continents reinforced the profound danger posed by climate-driven rain storms and the need for better warning systems and infrastructure to protect the most vulnerable populations from climate change. So you find that that is the mantra. That is the mantra. And to me, it's really sad when you use human tragedy to push a political agenda. And that's what we're seeing with some of these things that are taking place, and even over on Maui, and we will show you some of that as well. They go on, and really they want to pull at the heartstrings. You know, here people are dying. We've got to deal with climate change. I mean, even the dead, here's an article. It says, when the dead don't stay buried, climate change isn't just creating havoc for living. It's coming for our dead. Great deluges of rain submerge graves and markers. Here's another article. They referred to Libya again, but thousands are feared dead in Libya, where two dams burst following torrential rains. Now, there's some human problems when you have these dams break as well. In Greece, entire towns in the Thessalonica plain are underwater from the same storm that has devastated parts of Turkey and Bulgaria. In Asia, Hong Kong and southern China saw extreme rainfall and flooding in recent days. Dozens of people died in flooding in southern Brazil, and catastrophic flooding hit Spain too in recent weeks. The fact that you're seeing these extreme events, record-breaking events, record-breaking temperatures, really suggest that these are being exacerbated by climate change. And then there's an article with Pittsburgh or another place in Massachusetts where it says in the time that a movie could finish its double feature, water was so great it destroyed roads and the deluge of homes and that kind of thing. Businesses were underwater and it forced evacuation, and they point to climate change, hallmark of climate change. Wait a minute. Why are you using disasters now to push a political agenda? They weren't doing that 100 years ago. Same disasters were happening. Do you know in 1887, September, the yellow fever disaster, 2 million people died in China flooding. After that, July 1931 in China, 4 million people died in flooding. They didn't say climate change. That was just a flooding. It was a bad situation. In November 1970, I mean, that's when really the climate people were saying an ice age is coming. Didn't come, but they said it was, because there was cooling for a number of decades. We're wrong. In East Pakistan, 500,000 people died. You see, it wasn't global warming, it was a severe storm. And there are certain things that happen on planet Earth when you populate and it's congregated in certain areas. And it's a tragedy. But don't use that for your political agenda. Now, on Maui, do you know how many people, Democrats, were saying that that was because of climate change? Do you know that Governor Green did that? Now, I'm not downing Governor Green. I'm just saying you're on the wrong side of truth and of facts. And it's wrong to use that tragedy for political means. Well, let's show the Green video.
So we've been experiencing wildfires for decades here. We've all actually been through wildfires. This is the first time we've ever experienced a wildfire in the context of these dry conditions, global warming, and with a hurricane that's just passing us. We're also seeing, of course, hurricanes cause damage across the globe. The consequence of global warming and storm change is changing things.
Global warming. He's part of the UN. I mean, he went over there and he spoke. And so Hawaii, Hawaii is a big thing of this whole situation with what we're seeing with the whole climate agenda. You see, is God in charge or is he not in charge? Did he create what we have? And did he just create it and go on vacation and he's not going to sustain it? No, he's going to sustain it. He said he would. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, he said, I will never again, after he flooded the earth in judgment, remember the rainbow he put up, it was a covenant that I'm not going to judge the earth again. He said, I will never curse the ground on a mount of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. As long as the earth remains, God says, I'll keep it intact. Doesn't mean there's not going to be storms, there's not going to be issues, tragedies, but he says he'll keep it intact. Psalm 36, 6, your righteousness is like the highest mountain. Your judgments are like the deepest sea, O Lord. You preserve or save or deliver man and beast. He's the preserver of what he created. Colossians 1:17, speaking of Christ, he is before all things, and in him all things, note, hold together or are established together. Literally, the Greek says, facts lining up with each other to support something. The facts are lining up that he created it, he's going to sustain it. And even Psalm 135, the Lord does all that pleases him in heaven and on earth, in the seas and in all the depths. He causes the clouds to rise from the ends of the earth. He generates the lightning with the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouse. Hydrologic cycle. The hydrologic cycle, where you have evaporation, condensation, precipitation, and then collection when it rains. You see, God says, I'm in charge. I'll do that. I'll do that. If you read Psalm 104, the first 35 verses, read it on your own and see that it's all about God creating and taking care of planet Earth. And I would have to say, who are you? I'm speaking to myself too, putting myself in your category. Who are you? Who are you to put yourself in the place of God? Counsel God. Take on the role of God. And say, here, I'm going to tell you what's what here on planet Earth. You see, God mentions that to those that try to do that in Job chapter 38. Who is this that darkens counsel, questioning my authority and wisdom by words without knowledge? In other words, who are you that speaks out and you don't even know what you're talking about? And you're talking about me and my creation. He goes on, do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can you shout to the clouds and make it rain? Can you make lightning appear and cause it to strike as you direct? Who gives intuition to the heart and instinct to the mind? Who is wise enough to count all the clouds? Who can tilt the water jars of heaven? He speaks in poetic terms, but he just says, who are you to think you can run the universe and keep it safe? No, what man will do is he will probably bring it to an end or mess it up really bad. We'll look at some things they're trying to do. But Hebrews again, when we look at God as the one that built it, he's going to sustain it. In Hebrews 1:3, and he is the radiance of his glory, speaking of Christ, and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds, powerful word, all things by the word of his power. When he has made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, after Jesus died for the sins of the world, my sins, your sins, he was buried, he rose again. He says, you know what? I'm going to continue. I'm going to uphold all things that I've created. In other words, uphold, it means to keep them from falling apart. And it's speaking of God, the Son, preserving the universe. He does it himself. Now, some of the people I'm going to quote, they're secular people, but they're intuitive people, and they're people that look at our government. They look at what's around us, and they look at science that's debunked, and they don't want people to see it, although these are very renowned professors and educated individuals. But Frank Bergman, in August 14th, this is this year, in Slay News, he says, Joe Biden is close to signing an executive order to declare a climate emergency, granting the Democrat president sweeping new powers to enforce lockdowns to save the planet, quote, save the planet from, quote, global warming. A public policy think tank is warning this. According to Heartland Institute, the signs that Biden will declare a climate emergency, gas rationing, restrictions on electricity use, and limits on air travel. Well, that's the possibility. That seems like it's on the horizon. It hasn't happened, but he's saying that this is what they're talking about. And also limits on meat and dairy consumption. Now, remember when they had a problem with cows? Because they say cows flatulate, and it's causing global warming. And so they're trying to do away with as many cows as they have. They're trying to create meat in the laboratories. Well, that's part of this. It goes on, it says, all this to meet net zero. That is going to be the greatest problem that, as we go on, we'll see. Net zero goals of globalist green agenda. The Heartland Institute says insiders by working with Biden with the United Nations, UN website updated with new climate emergency page, the science is clear, they say. The UN website states, the world is in a state of climate emergency and we need to shift into emergency gear. Again, I'm not putting these guys up in the video to condemn them, but I'm putting them up there to show you they're on the wrong side of truth. Pray they come to the right side of truth. But one of the things, and you're going to see it in a moment, that Joe Biden has says is climate change is even more frightening than nuclear war. That is a radical statement. But what does it do? It terrifies people, especially people that are not in the know. But let's play that clip.
And the only existential threat humanity faces, even more frightening than a nuclear war, is global warming going above 1.5 degrees in the next 10 years.
We're going to see that's not true, but that frightens people. I mean, it just really, really makes them think, wow, we got to do something about global warming. You see, July 27th, just a month or so ago, Secretary General Antonio Guterres, he said, and I quote, climate change is here. It is terrifying, and it is just the beginning. The era of global warming is ended. The era of global boiling has arrived. The air is unbreathable. The heat is unbearable. He said this just recently. Let's show that clip.
It is a disaster. And for scientists, it is unequivocal. Humans are to blame. All this is entirely consistent with predictions and repeated warnings. The only surprise is the speed of the change. Climate change is here, it is terrifying, and it is just the beginning. The era of global warming has ended, the era of global boiling has arrived. The air is unbreathable, the heat is unbearable, and the level of fossil fuel profits and climate inaction is unacceptable.
It's UN, and Hawaii is in lockstep with the UN, so what's going to come, we don't know. But here's what's said. You see it from our president, you see it from UN Secretary General, but humanity's burning of fossil fuels has emitted enough greenhouse gas to significantly alter the composition of the atmosphere. An average world temperature has risen between 1.1 and 1.2 centigrade, which is 33% to 34% Fahrenheit. We have the solutions we need, and many will reduce emissions, contribute to climate adaptation. But that's not a true statement. It's not a true statement. We don't have a rise of 33% to 34%. And we will show that in some graphs that have been made of what the reality is, what history shows. You see, the news, it comes as the corporate media has been ramping up and talking about heat waves linked to the hot weather and climate change. You see it all over the place. Now, Biden revealed that the federal government is preparing the military to deal with the climate stuff, as he puts it. New temperature numbers issued August 15th by the NOAA, or the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, justify Biden's needs. You find news stories all around the world, even in Africa. We did missions in Addis Ababa in Africa, and out of their paper, this was many years ago, but now what they're saying in their African Arguments News, it's a newspaper, they say Addis Ababa faces growing climate change, risk like heat, drought, and floods, study shows. So not just people over here, but people halfway around the world, they're putting that fear. They say that the melting in Antarctica and the supposed subsequent sea level rise and Maui wildfires will be cited. And this is that institute, Heartland Institute. They're a think tank. And Biden planning to declare climate emergency, Democrats and corporate media to make a declaration, Democrat Republican Cori Bush, a Democrat in Montana, on social media, blamed the wildfires in Hawaii on climate crisis. Climate crisis is here, and it's killing people. Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat, he said, scientists are clear that climate chaos, wreaking havoc, we need to take action immediately or else it will get even worse, devastating wildfires in Maui. Representative Barbara Lee, Democrat in California, climate is the crisis, and it's not up for debate. We must declare a climate emergency and act before more lives are lost. You see, there are important lessons to learn when you have tragedies like this. We are resolved to keep communities safe. No, those are good talking points, and those are good things to say. But then also when you say also climate issues, when you push a political agenda, that's ingenuous. You know, it just intensifies everything. And really, that's what the CEO and the president of Hawaiian Electric has said, Shili Kimura. She said it's a climate issue. And it's all around the world, as she's pointing out what happened on Maui. Everything's climate. So what does normal people think? Oh, it must be. Until you look at the evidence, until you look at the facts. Again, Hawaii governor agrees climate change amplified the cost of human error on Maui fires. Climate change amplified the failures of officials to act properly on the Maui wildfires. Hawaii Democrat Josh Green suggested on Sunday, while appearing on CBS Face the Nation, Green discussed what some people have considered critical mistakes by both local officials and private companies regarding the disaster. Though Green acknowledged failures in decision made in the moment, in quotes, in the moment, by these actors, he also remarked that these mistakes were aggravated by climate change. So he was on CBS with host Margaret Brennan, and she asked, "So just to be clear, when you're talking about global warming, are you saying that climate change amplified the cost of human error?" Green said, "Yes, it did." You see, when we don't want to acknowledge our errors, it's very convenient to place attention and to blame something else so the attention's off us. No, what can we do better? Let the cars off the road, you know, let people out, you know, do whatever you can do. But you see, when we look at science, there's something about science that won't change. Science is based on observational evidence together with logic, to make sense of the evidence. By the way, as I'm studying, just a side note, the president I voted for, Donald Trump, he disputes global warming. I thought, great, good for you, you know, in the midst of all this, to get slammed by others. You see, the Princeton and MIT scientists say that EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, their climate resolutions are based on a hoax. Physicists, meteorologists testify that the climate agenda is disastrous for the U.S. It is. Not only that, it's devastating for those in poor countries, and you're going to see famine that is just, if they have this net zero, you're going to see it just ramp up like crazy. You see, the two prominent climate scientists, they've taken the EPA to task, and they say cutting carbon dioxide, CO2 emissions in electricity generation, they argue, will be disastrous for the country for no scientifically justifiable reason. You see, Hawaii has now, they're not doing coal anymore. They're doing, they're doing wind and they're doing solar now. And one of the great minds, I think, of Hawaii has moved because he was fearful for his family. He's not a Christian, but he moved and said, this is going to be disastrous because you can't survive on just, you know, wind and solar type things. And so when you think of that, is that why California, they've eliminated gas stoves? You can't have a gas stove. Now they're going after electric fans, ceiling fans. I know you just read about that. Ceiling fans, they have to now, you know, retool the ceiling fan to meet their specifications. But then they say to the public, yeah, but it's going to benefit you. You know how much you're going to save every month by your new ceiling fan? 32 cents per month. Oh, that's great. But what are you spending more for that fan? You know, because they got to retool it. So all these things are so arbitrary. They're so arbitrary, and they're not really scientifically justifiable. William Happer, he's the professor in physics at Princeton University, and Richard Lindzen, professor of atmospheric science at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, that's MIT. These are pretty renowned individuals. They claim that the EPA is not scientific in their facts. They're not a science group of people. But our political opinions and speculative models, and they're inconsistent, and they're proven wrong constantly. If you're wrong constantly, there's something wrong with your projections. You see, the unscientific method, as they say, they cherry-pick data and they omit voluminous, contradictory data. And usually it's typical of the EPA doing the same thing. None of the studies provided have scientific knowledge, and none provides any scientific support. Just the complete opposite. We'll see it in just a moment. You see, all the models that predict catastrophe, global warming, they fail in key elements, and that's the scientific method. They grossly overstate the warming, like it's going to go way up, versus the actual data. What have they looked at, and what have they observed over 30, 40, 50, 1,000 years? What have they observed? You see, that's the scientific method. And what these scientists are saying is there's no risk that fossil fuels and carbon dioxide will cause catastrophic warming in extreme weather. We go through that as we go through the evidence. The climate models the EPA is using, they have been consistently wrong throughout history, throughout decades of predicting actual outcomes. They've modeled climate predictions, and we will see that. We have an overhead, and you could see the red line. It shoots, all of a sudden, you know, it shoots way high versus the actual observations. And this is a picture of temperature variations. In the 90s, they overpredicted. So if you could see that, you could see that line, the red line, it goes way up. And then the blue is the CEO. CO2, it goes way down. And in the 90s, it was embarrassing. CO2s were down, and you see that red line going way up, and that's what they're saying. And one of these gentlemen worked for them at that time, and so they saw it. They said, this is embarrassing. What we're predicting and what is happening is not happening. And he says, in the 90s, the U.S. Department of Energy, they knew very well then that the models were over-predicting warming by a huge amount. So what you're seeing here is from 75 to over 2020 plus, and you see in the late 90s to today, that red line goes way up. That's their predictions. And the EPA, they've grossly overstated the harm that CO2 causes in ignoring the benefits to life on Earth. They don't tell you that. They don't even want to see that. But the EPA regulations are arbitrary, they're capricious, as the scientists say. They fail to consider an important aspect of the problem, the cherry picking, only what they want to see and not the other that contradicts, you know, their reporting and what they want to see. And they've come to a preordained conclusion, and so you don't want to move them off from that confusion. So in the picture, the CO2 temperature flux, that's the blue. The blue is the CO2. The red is the temperature. And you find these graphs, they go, you know, they miss each other. A couple times they do. Oh, see, CO2 and the temperature, they kind of connect. But mostly when the CO2 is up, the temperature's down. When the CO2 is down, the temperature is up. So you see, it's not according to the EPA. You have millenniums of CO2 and temperature data contradicting the theory that the higher the CO2, it causes catastrophic global warming. No. And they're going back from the Cambrian time. You see, these scientists aren't Christians necessarily. They're just data people. They're involved in science. They want to see what it is. You know, what it looks like. And so that is what they're coming up with, this CO2 levels at a low point historically. And you find that the temperature is higher at that time. And so one of the things that might get a little confusing, but we want to go through this just a little bit, and then we'll continue on next week in part two. but 140 parts per million increase of CO2 since the industrial age. What they say, since the industrial age, our planet has gone into an increase in CO2 and the temperature has gone up, so the industrial age has caused it, so we've got to go back to eating plants and bugs. You know, we've got to come out of that age. And America is the one that have caused this. You're going to see that that's not true. 140 parts per million since the industrial age is trivial. It's trivial compared to CO2 changes over the geological history of the Earth. And you can see it in that graph. You can see it. EPA feels to consider CO2 and fossil fuels are essential for life. They're not bad, they're good. Increased levels of CO2 create more food worldwide and more food for people in drought-stricken areas. Increase in carbon dioxide over the past 200 years since the Industrial Revolution from about 280 parts per million to 420 parts per million caused an approximate 20% increase in food available to people worldwide, as well as increasing the greening of the planet. We like that in Hawaii, the greening of the planet. It's beneficial. It's beneficial is what we're seeing. Now, synthetic fertilizers, they want to do away with that. You see that a lot in the news. We got to do away with those because they're causing CO2 rise and stuff. And in this next graph, it's a picture of synthetic fertilizers and the yield that comes from them. That's the synthetic fertilizers, the dotted line. It has increased crop production dramatically. And you see the graph from 1866 to today. And the dotted line are the synthetic fertilizers, and the other colored lines, if you could see them, that's like the increase in corn crop, wheat and barley and so on and so forth. Just an amazing increase with synthetic fertilizers. The more CO2 in the atmosphere leads to more plant growth and higher farming yields. Synthetic fertilizers are derived from natural gas, responsible for nearly half the world's food production today. You want to go net zero? You want to do away with CO2 in the air? You want to do away with these fertilizers, synthetic fertilizers? Do you know what you will do with people living in desolate, hard places? They'll starve to death. That'll be starvation. Net zero goals would reduce CO2 emissions by more than 40 gigatons per year, reducing the food supply proportionately. So food supply would drop, people would starve. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I hear what these people are saying. There are those in the upper echelons, they want to reduce planet Earth to, what is it, 500,000 people? They want to decrease the population. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I thought, well, why would you starve people out if you're going to do this? Because that's exactly what it'll do. Why would you do that? You see, that's the question that comes to my mind. The world's population is increasing, and it's dependent upon synthetic fertilizers derived from fossil fuels. You can see the picture here of population growth and fertilizers. As you see the green there comes from your without synthetic fertilizers, that's how much you could produce there, and it feeds what, maybe close to 3 billion people. But now with the synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, note that you can feed over almost 8 billion people. The others you feed, You can, you know, it starts out about 2 billion or maybe 3 billion, you know, just with the green natural fertilizers. But with the other, in our population is up, getting close to 8 billion. I think it's about 8 billion now. So what do you do when you take that away? You take away the food for people. You see, disregarding the benefits of CO2 and the EPA's emission rules and global warming narrative are based on flawed data. We can't say that enough. And if you go to these reports, you know, this is a handout for you. You can have it because it's talking pretty much about what I'm talking about right here. But go to those two websites and you'll see a further detail, because I'm going to get a little more into this next time. One of the things, I don't know if you've saw what Bill Gates wants to do, buying up 70 million acres of forest, but he wants to cut down the trees. He wants to bury the trees, because he says when the trees die, they give off CO2. Well, that's what he wants to do. Israel wants to plant trees, and they planted 250 million trees since the early 1900s. But here's Bill Gates here. In recent reports have suggested that Bill Gates' organization, Breakthrough Energy, is investing $6.6 million into a project led by Kerama Systems, which is purposely aimed at cutting down 70 million acres of forest, primarily in the western United States, and burying the felled trees. The project organizer argues that planting dead trees can reduce global warming by preventing the alleged release of carbon into the atmosphere. They intend to achieve this by using earthen vaults, which are dry and oxygen-free spaces designed for carbon sequestration, rather than utilizing the trees for conventional purpose such as timber and housing. Well, Israel did the opposite. We planted an incredible 250 million or a quarter of a billion trees in Israel, and the results have been transformative and breathtaking. Once a desert nation today, Israel has blossomed into a garden oasis. You cut down 70 million acres of trees and you've got a desert. Israel did the opposite. It was a desert. They planted and it changed the climate. It changed the atmosphere. And now it's like a Garden of Eden. You see, you wonder, what's up these people's sleeve? I mean, why are they doing this? You see, the teaching, let me just end on this, and then we'll pick this up, because this is an important thing, and here's where God has already put within his creation how to sustain it, how to keep it. Teaching physics professor at Princeton, Mr. Harper, for decades, he focused on atmospheric radiation and atmospheric turbulence, his inventions used by astronomers in national defense. I mean, he knew what he was doing. And he says, radiation is in the atmosphere is my specialty, and I know more about it than I would guess any climate scientist. His expertise involves much of the same physics that involved in climate, and none of it is very alarming, he says. So they're all, get you all shook up, get you all fearful. He says, it's not alarming. He goes on and he says, and here's the key. He said, the global warming narrative argues that as people burn fossil fuels, they emit higher concentrations of carbon dioxide into the Earth's atmosphere, which creates a greenhouse effect, trapping the sun's radiation and warming the Earth. Global warming models fail to take into account, according to a phenomenon called saturation, of the diminishing effect of CO2 in the atmosphere at higher concentrations of the CO2. In other words, God's already got it in. I mean, when you go to the toilet, you flush it, you go again and flush it. God has got this. He flushes it out of the environment. He does it. And for man to tamper with that, that's pretty scary. That's pretty scary. You see, the Bible tells us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the reason I'm getting into this is because it's so prominent in our culture, and I want you to make a decision on your own. But you see, the freedom that the Lord has given us, he says in Galatians 5:1, and let me end with this, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. You see, if they can scare you, they can control you, and you will be basically their slaves. But Jesus said, don't. I know he's talking about salvation and those legalists that say, oh, you've got to be saved, but you've got to keep all these laws. I know he's saying that. He's talking about our spiritual life and our salvation. We're saved by grace through faith, not out of ourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anyone boast. But you see, also, that freedom that we have in Christ, we also have freedom in our society. Our Constitution has given us that. You live in some of these countries, you don't get that, but we have it. I'm going to stay free. I'm going to stay free. I don't want to give in to this. I'm pro-choice when it comes to this kind of stuff. I can choose my own way, my own path. I can choose not to get a vaccine, which I won't. I never will. But I'm also pro-life because I know what those vaccines do. Many people are dying. Many people have some very bad effects from them. In fact, check our website. I just put out what's happening to some of these kids when they get the vaccine. And what are they saying? Now vaccinate kids that are 6 months old? This is why the Bible says all men are liars. You got to be careful. You know, if I'm, you know, pulling the wool over your eyes, I want to know. But you see, you've got to make good decisions for yourself and study. But he says, hey, don't become a slave of anyone. If you're going to follow anyone, if you're going to be a servant of anyone, be a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, you do say we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us, set us free. Just those that came out afterwards, so thankful because they've been giving in to lies, and I could just see the fear that they've come out of because of truth that we can speak. But Lord, most of all, no matter what condition we're in our life, Lord, that truth of the Word of God, that salvation that you've given us through Jesus Christ, that's the greatest. And I would pray if there's any here this morning, this afternoon, that have never trusted Christ in their life for their salvation, that they have never asked him to forgive their sin, ask him to write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, to have a home in heaven. They can do that just now, a simple prayer away. We know God's already been preparing your heart for that, and that belief is deep down inside, and so I can just help facilitate that by a prayer. If you want to pray this prayer with me, you can say it quietly, you can say it out loud, but it's asking Christ to come into your heart and give you forgiveness and give you a home in heaven. You're saying, thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me, for loving me. Lord, and I pray this day that I would come to you. I would turn from my sin and turn from my running and turn to you to follow you. And I thank you for dying for my sin, for raising again from the dead. And so I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord, my Savior, to be my God, and to be my friend. And I pray this day you fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might that I might walk with you, I might have a close relationship with you. You say in your scripture, though mother and father forsake you, God will take you up. Lord, a lot of people have been forsaken by a lot of people, loved ones, friends, family. But you say you will take us up. You will draw us close. So, Lord, that's what I want. I want your salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.